We are continuing our Bible study tonight in 2 Thessalonians, and we have come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 15, and this is what it says. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. This is the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands and abides forever. May he bless the reading of it and the teaching of it to you tonight. In 1991, Chuck Colson and Jack Eckerd wrote a book entitled Why America Doesn't Work. The premise of that book was that in the latter part of the 20th century, America in general lost its work ethic, evidenced by laziness in the workforce and the production of inferior, shoddy, low-quality products. And that was just another casualty in the erosion of the Christian world and life view. I don't claim that America ever was a thoroughly Christian nation. But the early settlers of America, including the Pilgrims and Puritans, brought with them a biblical world and life view that became ingrained in the fabric of this country. We still have a remnant of the biblical world and life view today, although it is being vitiated and expunged from the culture more and more. An element of that biblical world and life view was a high view of work that was called, after the Reformation, the Protestant work ethic, based upon what the Bible teaches about work. The Bible teaches that work is a good thing, a virtuous thing. One place where that is taught in the Bible is here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 15. In this passage, Paul is dealing with a problem concerning work in the church at Thessalonica. The problem is that some of the members of the church were refusing to work. You see that in the references to idleness three times and work four times in the passage before us, and especially in verses 10 and 11. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Some students of the Bible will tell you that this problem of not working was connected to the concerns about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is believed that these people in the Thessalonian church quit working because they believed that Christ was coming back very soon. This view says that some people in Thessalonica were expecting Jesus to return immediately, so they quit work. They stopped working to support themselves and their families. They began meddling in other people's lives, and they depended upon the benevolence of better off Christians to feed them and take care of them. There's some evidence to support that view in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. But I don't know for sure that is what was going on, because Paul does not come right out and say that. What he says is there was idleness in the church, and some members had quit work and become busybodies. So what we're going to see in this passage is the Apostle Paul applying the biblical view of work to this specific problem in the church at Thessalonica. The first thing I want you to see is that work in obedience to the Scriptures is compatible with grace. The Bible teaches that work is a good thing. When God created man in the beginning, He placed him in a garden and gave him work to do. He was to subdue the earth and have dominion over it. Work is something we do because we are created in the image of God. God is a worker, and we get that from Him. Work is a gift of God to man. Work brings us satisfaction and fulfillment. Work gives us something to do to keep us from being idle. Work enables us to provide for our needs and the needs of our families. Work is a means of serving others. Work is something that we can do to glorify God. He is glorified when we do good quality work and when we do it for His glory. Even after the fall of man, work is still a virtuous thing. Work itself is not God's curse on man. God's curse on man because of sin is that work will be harder, accomplished with difficulties and frustration. Cursed is the ground because of you, and pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Work will be more difficult and frustrating because of the curse of sin, but work is still a good and virtuous thing. Now, one thing Paul does here is appeal to the Scriptures. When Paul says in verse 6, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us," he is appealing to the teaching of Scripture. That tradition you receive from us is Scripture. When he says in verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat," he was appealing to the Scriptures. And when he says in verse 14, "If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed," he is appealing to the teaching of Scripture. Paul had apostolic authority, and he knew that what he was writing to them had the authority of Christ, the authority of Scripture. You understand here that Paul expected obedience to the Scriptures. Obedience to the Word of God goes hand in hand with faith in Jesus Christ. We do not obey the Word of God in order to earn our salvation or to keep our salvation. We do not obey the Word of God in order to gain favor with God by our performance. We obey the Word of God in order to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord, and to do anything less than obey Him is to be unfaithful to Him and to deny Him. We tenaciously believe that we are saved by grace and grace alone, and we could not be saved any other way. So we obey the commands of God's Word to be faithful to the One who saved us by His grace. Faithfulness is a consequence and corollary of genuine faith. Secondly, work is the example set by Paul. Verse 7 through 9 says, "For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate." Paul says something interesting in verse 9. He says, "We were not idle when we were with you. We worked hard night and day." And then in verse 9 he says, "It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate." The truth is, he had a right to being fully supported. As an apostle and a preacher, he was entitled to full support. The Scripture teaches that God has ordained that those who serve Him, who labor in the Word and doctrine, be worthy of double pay. That's what 1 Timothy 5:17 says. And 1 Timothy 5:18 says, "For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages." There is your scriptural basis for paying preachers. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says it like this, "Let the one who is taught the Word share all good things with him who teaches." If you're being taught the Word, then you need to give and share what you have with the one who is your teacher of the Word. So, as an apostle and a preacher, he had a right to full support. He did not necessarily have to work. Paul acknowledges here, and in 1 Timothy, and in 1 Corinthians 9, and other places, that the normal pattern is for congregations to support their pastor. And Paul did accept support from some churches. But there were some cases like this one where Paul supported himself and did not receive support from the people that he was ministering to. And apparently in this case, it's because he saw in this congregation that there were people that had a tendency to laziness, and he did not want to give them an excuse for that. He wanted to give them an example of hard work. And so he's saying to them, "When I tell you, work hard, feed yourself, don't be a burden to other people." He said, "I did the same thing when I was ministering to you. I set the example for you to work with your own hands." Thirdly, work promotes harmony in the church. In verse 13, Paul says this, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." Obviously, he was addressing the ones who were working when he said that, because the ones who weren't working were not doing good, being idle and going around being busybodies. That word "busybody" there means to bustle about uselessly, to busy oneself about trifling, needless, useless matters. And it is used of a person who is officiously inquisitive about other people's affairs, meddling in other people's business. Now, if you've got people who are working quietly and earning their own living, and then there are these idle busybodies, how do you think that is going to affect the ones who are doing good? The ones who are doing good are going to grow weary with that. It happens everywhere I have ever worked. You've got some lazy employees and you've got some dedicated, hard-working employees that are constantly having to pick up the slack of the lazy ones, and it takes the motivation out of the hard-working ones. The ones who are doing good lose heart, become discouraged, and grow weary with that. So Paul is addressing the idle busybodies and telling them to quit being idle busybodies and go to work. He's telling them to do it not only because God ordained it, Scripture commands it to follow the example of the apostles, but for the harmony of the church. Their idleness and busyness in the affairs of others would destroy the church. And he is exhorting the ones who were doing good not to grow weary in doing good. Well, fourthly, work alleviates the need for more drastic church discipline. Work alleviates the need for more drastic church discipline. In verse 6, Paul says, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us." Then in verse 14 and 15, he says, "If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother." Now I want to say something about that last verse. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Paul is dealing with people who are sinning in this church, and he clearly regards them as true Christian brothers. So this is another passage of Scripture that denies sinless perfection in Christians. There are members of this church who are sinning by idleness, refusing to work and being busybodies. That, among other things, can happen to Christians. We're not made perfect at conversion. We do not ever reach a point where we are able to live without sinning. We do need sanctification, and that is a lifelong process. So Paul tells us how to deal with sinning brothers. Do not regard them as enemies, but warn them as brothers. Now, if they do not respond to that warning, then more drastic steps may need to be taken. At this point, Paul is saying, do not condone, approve, or enable those who are not doing good. Have nothing to do with them and stay away from them as long as they continue to be idle busybodies and refuse to work. He's talking to the whole church, and he's telling them to hold these idle busybodies accountable. It is the responsibility not just of the elders, but of the whole church to hold its members accountable to the Scriptures. And by the way, do it in love. Work is a good thing. Work is a command of Scripture. Work is a gift of God. Work is a means of supplying your needs and serving others. Work in obedience to the command of Scripture is compatible with grace. Work is the example of Paul. Work promotes harmony and health in the church. Work alleviates the need for discipline. Let's pray.